So I guess we're back.
We're back, and we're actually looking at each other, talking to one another.
Yes, in person. Well, yes. We closed out last season in person, right?
We did.
Yeah.
I think it was the only thing we recorded in person last season.
I thought we did first and last season as well in person.
No, because we started with the Halloween episode last season.
And that was not in person.
I don't think that was in person.
Well, anyway, we
are
back.
So here we are.
In person. How was your summer?
Not bad. Overall, not terribly exciting, but it had its good moments. Aaron and I played lots of music events. Nothing paying, of course, but we don't really care too much about that at this point.
Just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's enjoyable. And plus getting to play with other people too, and kind of improvisational, impromptu situations is also definitely fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, fun.
Fun. We took a bit of a trip. We went up to Vermont and Canada, and that was fun.
You say that very convincingly. I should also mention we had a brief trip to Ocean City, Maryland, which is also quite enjoyable.
But was it fun?
It was fun, but it was also enjoyable.
Okay, so the big question is, if we could go back in time, would we do anything different over the summer? I don't think I would.
There were things that had to happen, or things that just did happen that we didn't really have much control over, so...
Indeed.
It's just the way it goes. It's not like it was a complete and utter disaster or anything like that.
But I guess that's how things go.
And that's our show.
So, in case you may have forgotten since last season, or you're new, I am Glenn.
And I am Jim, and we've been doing this podcast for a little over 3 years now.
Yeah, we are entering season 4.
And our seasons are just kind of annual cycles.
Pretty much, yeah. We don't do more than one season a year.
Right.
We usually go like fall to spring.
With a summer hiatus thrown in.
Indeed. And maybe you know us from a previous podcast.
We've been known to do another one.
Yeah, that's the Backstage Show. That one ran for 5 seasons, so we're not quite up to that yet. And of course, those had weekly episodes. I don't know what we were thinking.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts. Although that podcast ultimately ran for, I think, 3.5 years, calendar years, I believe.
Something like that, yeah. So there were seasons overlapping on
Or
overlapping years, rather.
Sort of like, yeah, right. So we're kind of coming up on that, at least as far as time, since we started. But
episode numbers, definitely not, because we hit 100 on that. I think we're, in our late 30s on this?
I'm not entirely sure, because we kind of
changed up
the numbering scheme midway through. So
yeah, we did.
The mini-sodes originally weren't kind of counted as the main canon, so to speak, but then Glenn changed his mind and did that last season.
Well, because we got a little more consistent with them, I think.
You did.
I did. Whatever. So the other thing that's new this year is the logo.
Yes.
Sort of. I mean, it's essentially the same logo, but now it's got cartoon versions of me and Jim.
Yeah, well, you scanned a photo of us and it turned it into a logo?
No, because, I mean, we still kept the old logo behind it. All that I did was get a photo of us. I think it's the one that's on Facebook, even.
Probably.
Not sure.
It was from the previous podcast.
Is it that old?
It's that old.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay then. We don't look a day older though.
No, not at all.
Just got to make sure my gray hair comes through on that one. Anywho, so we're basically, other than the new logo, keeping essentially the same format. We're going to be doing, you know, one episode a month with a mini-sode in between the main episodes. We are altering the schedule a little bit, I guess. I don't even know if this is altering it. So we're shooting to release the monthly full episode on the last Friday of each month, and then the mini-sode for that cycle, whatever, will follow like 2 or 3 weeks later, depending on the length of the month.
Right, the midway in between, somewhere between the full episodes.
Yeah, and we're trying for less than an hour for the full episodes, less than 20 minutes for the mini-sodes.
Somehow, we'll see how we do.
Yeah, somehow I have a feeling this very episode may go over. We got a big topic.
Yeah, it might take a lot of time to cover it.
Well, I'm sure we'll travel through it. Yes, that subtle hint means we're talking about time travel. Of course, you've probably already seen the title, which is Time Travel Movies, so you probably already know that. It's not like it's a big secret, but we are talking about time travel films and the appeal of time travel and why time travel fascinates audiences and all that sort of stuff.
I guess it goes hand in hand with speculative fiction, as it were, mm-hmm. as far as people wondering, what if things turned out differently?
And is it like, would you consider time travel like a subset of sci-fi?
I would. Well, I used the broader term speculative fiction.
Right.
I guess. But yeah, I would definitely include it in that. That's not to say that time travel stories necessarily have to have a pseudo-scientific means of enacting them. It could be magical.
Yeah, that is true. And I think we have examples later where it is that. So we're dealing with a lot of what ifs and how about we look at this sort of scenario and see what would be different in our world.
Right. There are different stories that kind of tackle this in different ways. Some look at it from like a broader world life-changing event kind of a thing.
Right.
And presenting sort of an alternate history or an altered timeline of history, whereas others are a lot more focused on someone's personal past, as it mm-hmm. were, and thinking about what if I had done something differently at some point earlier in my life? How would my life have turned out differently? And I'm kind of speaking about now how a lot of these are more focused on history in the past.
I was just going to say that, like, it seems that past time travel is a little more common than future time travel.
Right, because we kind of know how the past turned out, or a person knows how their personal past turned out.
Sure.
Whereas future is way more speculative as far as, okay, what's going to happen by such and such a time? Mm-hmm. What will one's life be like?
It's more like what would be different now if this thing was different in the past.
Right. So I think many writers are hesitant to explore possible futures because sure. nobody really knows.
I think what happens when you're looking into the future, it's more of just a total guess. And most of the time when you're looking back on that later, you're like, oh, that clearly was not the case. Like even something that we're rather familiar with, Star Trek, has like some of the events that were talked about in Star Trek should have already happened already.
Yes.
And have not. World War III, for example.
Well, that was when Khan was around in the 90s.
Okay.
Yes. Originally, but I think even that has been changed.
Oh, well, regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless, stuff has passed already that.
Yes, right. Stuff that was in the future of when the shows were originally produced.
When you're going in the 60s and you're looking 30 years into the future, that's the 90s.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like, oh, this won't still be around in 50 years. We're not going to need to worry about it.
And yet,
here
by the time the 90s hit, they were still making movies. They had multiple TV series on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So, whoops.
And I think also some of it, like, is just kind of just pure nostalgia.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think a lot of, there have been a prevalence, particularly in movies, I think, of a lot of time travel stories that go back to a time that presumably would have been in the lifetime, earlier in the lifetime of the characters, mm-hmm. the writers, the target audience, as it were.
Right.
There's kind of like a 20-year cycle, I will say, with a lot of just writing in general. I think as far as nostalgia for a period from 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you got to have a round number, that's 20, maybe 30.
And but, I think to kind of go into a little bit more detail, I guess it kind of, I think relates to the age of the people writing the stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So they're becoming nostalgic about things from their own past.
Right. I mean, it's kind of interesting. One of the first things that I wrote with a friend of mine was a screenplay called Tips. And we were writing this in, late 90s, I guess. And most of that script was zeroed in on 80s nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of doing that. I mean, it wasn't time travel, but we set it in the past.
Right.
I don't know. All right. Maybe take a little break and then we'll jump into.
Dive right in.
Yes. Into the actual movies. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, Jonathan, we're sending you back in time.
Before television, radio, even before soft drinks.
Careful, anything you do could change history.
Mum's the word.
Activate time travel mode to the year 1885.
He's there.
There was my Pepsi.
It's Oh, no. He took it.
Relax, Smith.
What could 12 ounces of Pepsi possibly change?
Yeah, what could happen?
Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
And we are back. I hope you enjoyed that unpaid commercial that we seem to keep airing.
We don't have any real sponsors, do we?
No, but if you'd like to sponsor, you can shoot us an email at show@backstage.link, and we'd be happy to run your ads and, I don't know, just give us a buck.
We don't have any Patreon or anything like that set up, right?
We do not, no. Because why would we? I don't know if anybody listens.
Yeah.
But if you are listening, thank you. And we are back to our time travel movies episode. And let's say we put up our Mount Rushmore of time travel films.
Sure.
Let's start with the biggie, the George Washington.
Yes.
Back to the Future.
Indeed.
I mean, that is... I don't want to just say like it's the best time travel movie, because there are a lot of excellent time travel movies and they are so different from each other that it's hard to say that this is necessarily better than that. But it is something that I certainly hold up as kind of a gold standard.
I think it's the one that in pop culture, when people think of time travel from, you know, the last several generations, mm-hmm. this is what they think of.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking to Ollie, my son, earlier today and saying that Jim's coming over to record. Oh, what's your topic? I said time travel movies. He goes, oh, like Back to the Future.
Exactly.
So that was immediately what he came up with. So it does just pop right into people's heads for that. It
just pulled off things so iconically in terms of the characters, the technology involved.
I think it also helps that it was in like a formative period of our lives.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of at ground zero, I think, as far as its injection into the pop culture zeitgeist.
And I remember like going to those movies and seeing like, wow, stuff was so different 30 years. It was 30 years, right? 85 to 55.
Yes.
So I remember thinking, wow, things were so different in the 50s. And I think they were. But now I look at it now and I'm like, were things that different in 1995? Because that's what they'd be going back to.
Oh, from now you mean?
From now, yeah. If it were right now, it would be 1995. And I'm like, I don't think pulling into a gas station is much different now than it was in 1995.
I think, and this kind of ties into what I was referring to earlier with some writers being gun-shy about writing about the future, because they really don't have a good way to predict very well what future technology is going to permeate everyone's daily lives by a certain amount of time. And I think in this case, their attempts to project what a future would look like ended up being a bit off.
In the second Back to the Future.
In the second Back to the Future.
Oh, part, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, it's still fun to look at it. But it's also like, you know, like I was saying, like the difference I feel between 55 and 85 is more readily apparent. And maybe it's just because now I'm old, but the difference between 95 and 2025 doesn't seem like, other than cell phones, like in day-to-day life, cell phones to me is the major thing, right? I mean, you pull into a gas station, your experience isn't going to be any different. You pull into a diner, like a diner in 1995 and a diner in 2025. Like, what's the real difference?
How you pay, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd say as far as technology goes, the clear abundance of handheld devices and connected devices that was really all in its infancy in 1995. People were just,
we're talking
by
razor
that point,
phones.
Yeah, people were just maybe starting to dial up to the internet at that point. That was all new then for the most part.
In 95?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Well, I mean, dial-up and modems and networking existed for several years prior to that, but
sure.
I think it was around that time where it really kind of took off and became more widely available.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of pre-broadband sort of thing.
Yes,
but regardless, right. Yeah. So there's our Washington. So
right.
So our next Mount Rushmore of time travel films.
I'll be back.
Yes.
We're talking, of course, about the Terminator.
And there's been a lot of others.
There really have. I mean, I'm really only familiar with the Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Right.
But I mean, they went on, what are there, like five movies now?
Six, I think.
Five or six. There's at least one TV show.
There was a TV show, yeah.
Sarah Connor? Chronicles?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Yeah, so I haven't really, like, immersed myself in that as much, but that was still just such... I mean, that made Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that was a big breakthrough.
Yeah, and I think that was the first time that anybody was really taking him at all seriously as an actor.
What, not Conan?
I think not, no. But, I mean, the other question is, so, I mean, yeah, there's certainly elements of time travel in it.
Well,
that's... But it's like, particularly the first movie, it's just one person moving back in time, or one
two.
Robot.
One robot and one person.
Wait, who's the person that moves back in time in the
Kyle
first
Kyle Reese.
My God, I don't even remember that. It's been so long since I've seen that.
He's kind of the one of the heroes of the piece.
Oh, wait, yeah, he goes back and tries to save them from... I always forget that Schwarzenegger is the bad guy in the first movie.
Yes, correct.
So it's somebody else that comes back to save them from the Terminator.
The Terminator, yes.
I gotta remember now. Does that movie hold up? Because I haven't seen it in a long time.
I believe it does. Yeah. I think it's still pretty well regarded today. It's interestingly enough, it has time travel and it has cybernetic organisms, as it were, but it's mainly described or thought of as a horror movie with those elements kind of superimposed on it.
Yeah, it's interesting how many movies you...
The Unstoppable Killer.
Right. And it's the same sort of thing with the Alien franchise. No time travel there, but at least not yet. That I'm aware of. I haven't seen the TV series yet. So it's like that is, you know, a horror movie in space. And the Terminator is kind of a horror movie with...
With time travel.
With time travel, yeah.
And robots.
Time travel and robots.
Yes. I think the first two movies of that series still generally hold up.
Mm-hmm. But where did it start to fit? Because I think I may have seen the third, but I don't even remember it. And I don't think I've seen anything past the third.
I think after that point, there are a lot of feelings that it didn't really, none of those really held up as much to the original. And plus, I think a lot of the more recent movies have kind of discounted continuity from previous movies. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, we don't like this sequel. We're ignoring the events of that one and we're telling a different story.
I mean, everybody is always talking about them doing another Back to the Future, but I think in that aspect, it's probably just as well that they didn't.
There's, in my opinion, no need to do it.
No, it was a complete story. I mean, even the first could stand easily on its own.
Yes. And I tend to elevate the first well above the other two.
Agreed. And I would say, see, it's harder to say with the Terminator. I don't know if the first or second, because the second definitely had some breakthrough elements in it.
Yeah.
And it almost works better with Schwarzenegger being less of the villain.
I think the first two movies still stand up as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll have to go back to them at some point. Maybe Ollie will want to watch those. I'm sure he will. All right. Moving on. We got our third in our Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Local connection,
yes,
for that one.
Yes.
12 Monkeys.
Right. It was parts of that movie were filmed in Philadelphia and take place in Philadelphia.
Yes. They filmed it in the old Strawbridge and Clothier, right? Wasn't part of that film there?
I can't confirm that.
Okay. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I believe parts of it were actually filmed at the convention center, which might have been, I think, newer, recently opened at that time.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly like the airport scenes are not filmed at Philly Airport. I know that much.
No, I think that was at the convention center.
That would make sense. So this was, I mean, in some ways, I think it's like a more serious take. It's certainly a more serious take than Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. It's a complete drama.
And the Terminator had its humor. I mean, arguably.
More so the second one than the first one, but.
Okay. Arguably the largest, the most humorous scene in Terminator was cut.
What was that?
When I'm not even sure if this is the first or the second, but I know there's a scene where they're introducing the I guess that's the T-1000. That's Schwarzenegger.
No, that's not. That was the liquid metal.
Yeah, well, whatever, think, yeah. Whatever the Schwarzenegger model.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they're introducing the Schwarzenegger model and the guy that they designed him after, who is obviously Schwarzenegger, is doing it, but they dub in his voice with like a real like Southern kind of hick voice.
Oh, no, okay. That was in the third movie.
The third one. Okay, yes. Well, see, apparently I do
where
remember
they were
something
trying
like
to design the T-800 was going to look like, and they modeled it physically after a character who was played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, but was dubbed in by some other voice, and yes, had like a kind of a hokey Southern drawl. Yes.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Chief Master Sergeant William Candy.
And then there was another, like a scientist who was voiced by Arnold, who said, "We can fix it," or something like that.
And that, to me, was the funniest scene.
But that was in the third movie. But it was in the movie.
It wasn't? I thought it was cut.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe it was a deleted scene.
I thought
scene.
It was cut, and it might be like a director's cut or something.
You might be right, but it was the third movie for
sure. Regardless. So there were humorous bits. I mean, even the I'll be back is a humorous moment in that movie.
Right. The second one, I think, more so has moments like that.
Yeah. 12 Monkeys. I'm not gonna say there weren't any funny,
you had,
but I think it was just
Brad Pitt's character who was pretty unhinged.
But I mean, he was unhinged, but that was, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it comic relief.
No, he was just, he did some pretty crazy things, I guess.
Yeah. Now, did you see the TV series at all?
I haven't seen it.
Movie I loved. Great movie. Really interesting look at time travel. But again, it's that typical thing of here we're showing the present and this is somebody from the future.
Right, but they kind of handled it in an interesting way because there's sort of an apocalyptic event that essentially shuts down any advance of human civilization. So we're looking at this crappy future where nothing further really advanced really any further. So they're still relying on whatever technology they had before that happened, although somehow they get time travel out of it. Wasn't it like he was on some sort of a rack or a cart or a cage or something like that?
And
he
like
got slingshotted.
Yeah, I don't remember what. I think they kept it intentionally vague.
It was kind of vague. Didn't really explain exactly how that worked.
But it was definitely an interesting take on things because he kept going back and forth.
Right. And then there was one part where he kind of overshot and ended up in World War I somewhere.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Before coming back to where he was supposed to go.
But definitely, like, I think one of the best time travel movies out there. Yeah, I just think 12 Monkeys is an excellent movie.
Excellent.
Be excellent to each other.
Party on, dudes.
Which leads us to our fourth Mount Rushmore movie. In case you haven't guessed that already, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes, see, obviously there have been, what now, three movies featuring the titular duo, but only really, I think, the first one primarily had to deal with time travel as a major part of its plot.
Well, I mean, they all, to some extent, dealt with time travel because that was the whole conceit of the phone booth, right?
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the strange things afoot at the Circle K. So, yeah. Did you see the third one?
No, I haven't.
I gotta tell you, I enjoyed it. I think it's a better movie than the second one.
Okay.
But it's still like, yes. I mean, Bill and Ted are up on Mount Rushmore there just for that first movie because it's so, it's an absolute pure comedic take on time travel. Whereas Back to the Future has some serious elements to it. Bill and Ted's, it's just a comedy.
It does not take itself seriously at all.
Weirdly, the most serious character in there is George Carlin.
Ironically, as Rufus.
So the series, I don't think, held up, whereas Back to the Future, yes, granted, it's that first movie that's really iconic, but the other two movies, I think, hold up better than the Bill and Ted sequels.
The popularity of Bill and Ted, I think, largely stemmed from not so much that it was really a time travel movie, but just the characters.
Absolutely.
Being sort of a, I don't know, cultural stereotype in a way of California surfer dudes.
They really were, which interesting when we were trying to remember like the catchphrases and stuff, we're coming up with stuff that was from Wayne's World. And there really is like, there's some serious overlap there just because it was such a stereotype that it was used by multiple things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in the late 80s, I think that was just a popular subculture, as it were. The kind of thing that Jerry Spicoli pioneered from Fast Times at Ridgemont High several years earlier.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. All right, so that's our Mount Rushmore of time travel films. Back to the Future, The Terminator, 12 Monkeys, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Agree, disagree, think more should be up there? Well, I don't think it would be more because the whole conceit of the Mount Rushmore is that there's four of them.
I would say in terms of general interest, I would probably agree with that list. I think for me that there are certain films about time travel that have maybe more personal meaning to me, but are probably have more of a selective fan base to them, which we'll be talking about in our next segment.
Yes, we will. And we will get up to that and go through some more time travel films right after this.
The magic of Steven Spielberg.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean!
The direction of Robert Zemeckis.
It works!
The performances of Michael J. Fox.
I can't be stuck here. I got a life in 1985.
And Christopher Lloyd.
We're sending you back to the future!
The music of Huey Lewis.
Power love is a curious thing.
Back to the Future from Universal Pictures. This feature not yet rated. Sneak preview Saturday night, June 29th at select theaters. Check newspapers.
We are back once again. If you would like to actually place an ad, please send us an email at show@backstage.link. You know, we maybe we'll even put it in for free. I don't know. Just so we got something to plug those commercial breaks with.
Okay.
We've pretty much just determined that it's easier to break this into segments rather than, like, we always did before, but now we're doing it a little more consciously.
I got nothing.
I don't think they can hear you shrug. So those were our big four in the last segment, the big four time travel movies, but there's obviously a lot more time travel movies out there, and there's no way that we could cover them all, and there's also no way we've seen them all, but we can, like, just run through a few of them real quick. And I mean, there's a lot that are just kind of like time travel adjacent, not really, like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
It's more of a time loop.
Well, he's
stuck in time.
He's technically traveling through time. He's just revisiting the same day over and over again.
But there's also like Run Lola Run along the same lines, which is kind of like they're just three different branches of the same bit of time.
Right. There are three kind of different what if this happened or what if that happened or what if that happened. But I think if I recall correctly, there's a little bit of effect from one loop to the next.
Well, I think to me what that movie is it's the same period of time shown three times, each with some insignificant moment that changes it.
Right.
You know, it's the butterfly effect kind of right. thing. But to me, that's the same loop of time three times, which is why there's similarities between them all, because it's the same period of time.
Yes. Another movie, Sliding Doors, is similar in that it kind of takes a branching off point from the middle of the story as far as whether or not she makes a train or not, the main character. Mm-hmm. And then everything that happens after each scenario being very different from the other scenario.
Yeah. It's these loops and things like that. Not really time travel, just sort of time travel. I don't know. There's also all of the, I mean, do we include Star Trek in our time travel?
Well, there are several episodes of the assorted Star Trek TV series that are heavily involved with time travel, but there are also several theatrical films that were. Probably the one that people remember the most would be the fourth one, the one with the whales.
The Voyage Home, yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, that just went, it's interesting because it's time travel, but it was set in the present.
It was, right, it was set in the future, but the characters time travel back in time to what was the present at the time.
Which is essentially the movie was mostly set.
Yes.
In that time period. It was like a little, the bookend, it bookended in the future, but most of it was in the present.
The then present.
Yeah, and then Next Generation had First Contact. That was their first movie, right?
The second.
What was the first?
Generations.
Oh, okay. I don't really remember that as well.
Did have sort of some time travel because Captain Kirk went from 23rd century to 24th century.
I will take your word for that because I don't even remember that movie.
Trust me.
I do remember First Contact because that was going back.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Because I was going back to the First Contact with the Vulcans.
Yes, correct.
Which...
So it's going back in time for them, but was still... the future as far as the
correct
time when the movie came out.
Yes, but how far into the future was that supposed to be? Star Trek has changed its timeline too many times. Yeah. Again, we're going off on a tangent. We gotta stop doing this unless we're starting a Star Trek podcast, which half the time this seems to turn out to be, but let's move on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Other good time travel, Time After Time.
Yes, that's interesting in that it kind of takes a well-known author of a time travel story, H.G. Wells, and makes him the central character to a movie involving time travel.
Right.
As if it's real.
And he goes back and fights Jack the Ripper, right?
I think he goes forward in time to the present, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, I guess he... Well,
Jack the Ripper manages to travel through time and I believe comes into present time.
I think you're right. But that was an enjoyable... I mean, that was also, you know, a nice balance of comedy and drama in that, if I recall. What else? The only other one that I had come up with that I'm familiar, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. So the first movie, Austin Powers is frozen and defrosted in the present.
Right.
The second movie, he and somebody else go back to his past to get his mojo back,
right.
I think.
Yes.
I think that was the conceit
that of was that the one. Conceit of that movie, yes.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is just as silly as the first one.
Fair enough. Wasn't really a big fan of that series. So I don't really have much to say about it.
Fair enough. What else you got?
I've seen a number of other films that somehow relate to time
travel. Yeah, I'm sure I've seen some. But
we mentioned Butterfly Effect earlier, where a person kind of has a strange power of being able to connect to his own past, his present, and be able to alter his past to try to make things better, but it inevitably ends up turning out worse.
We mentioned the Butterfly Effect, but not as the movie, as the actual Butterfly Effect, which is...
I'm talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Named after the phenomenon.
Sure. What was the whole thing? A bird flaps its wings and...
causes an earthquake in the other side of the world?
I don't know. Something like that.
Totally butchering it, I'm sure.
Oh, no, wait. It's not a bird flapping its wings. It's a butterfly flapping its wings.
It's not the bird effect.
Yeah, it's not the butterfly. It's not the bird effect, yeah. What else you got?
Army of Darkness, I kind of have a soft spot for. It's part of the Evil Dead trilogy, but it's one where our central character ends up having to go back in time to quote-unquote medieval times and then having to fight the undead army in that time period.
Always a good time.
Yeah. Hanging out with the primitive screwheads.
I'll pretend like I get that reference.
Those who've seen the movie will know what I'm talking about. Donnie Darko was an interesting movie. This one deals with time in a strange way in that one character kind of ends up going through a possible projection of events that would happen in the future over about a month's period of time. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of tied back to an event that happens near the beginning of the movie that he narrowly escapes. I won't go into too much detail about it, but then it loops back on itself. It's kind of strange. It's a little bit hard to follow depending on what cut of the movie you've seen. X-Men Days of Future Past was a fairly recent movie that involved, and this is kind of an example we didn't really talk about, of time travel projection, where a character goes back in time and inhabits their younger self in an earlier time period.
So that's what that movie had.
In the movie, that's what Wolverine ends up doing.
Interesting.
And then there was a movie, and this is sort of more of an indie kind of cult film, Safety Not Guaranteed. It's kind of a bizarre romantic dramedy. Mm-hmm. And the premise is this reporter ends up trying to find this guy who claims he's got the means of travel back through time. And he put in a classified ad, which supposedly was real. And that was the basis of coming up with this whole idea for this movie. But the movie isn't really that much about the time travel part of it. It's more about the characters' relationships, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the best time travel movies, the time travel is somewhat incidental. It's not the main point of the plot.
It's a plot device. It's maybe kind of a MacGuffin in a way.
Yeah. So I don't, like, because we don't know what time travel would really be, if it's even possible. They say it's not, but I actually read something recently that would say that, well, maybe it is. It's a whole thing, but because it's not hard science, it's hard to have something that's dealing with just that hasn't happened, if that makes sense.
I guess.
But you've got to look at internal logic and that sort of stuff, and we will do that after this break.
How would you like to save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on your Christmas shopping? Well, today and tomorrow at Bamberger's holiday sale event, you'll save 20 to 50% off regular price on a super collection of holiday gifts. Lady Manhattan blouses, Shetland sweater, diamond pendant, down vest, down comfort, Yadro figurines, Space Invader games, rockers, recliners. Just get out your Christmas list and get to Bamberger's. It's Bamberger's holiday savings event. Save 20, 30, 40, even 50% today and tomorrow at all Bamberger stores.
Despite the fact that time travel, as far as we know at this point, is completely impossible, there does need to be a certain amount of internal logic to it. Time travel rules.
Yeah, you have to incorporate it into a story in a believable way, which may or may not be believable, but at least you establish a certain consistency of how it works.
Basically, how things affect the timeline. Is the timeline set? If you go back in time, does it branch into a new timeline where both timelines exist at the same time? Or is the timeline itself mutable? Can you change what occurred and there is just one timeline?
Right. And then any attempts to change it back the way it was or change it into something entirely different becomes the new timeline.
Right. So that's your general rule.
Well, depends on how you want to write your story. You pick a rule and stick to it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I mean, even with all of that, with these different rules that you do, there's different paradoxes that come up, whether whether you're sticking to your rules or not, like the grandfather paradox is a really well-known one. That's if you kill your grandfather, then how do you exist?
Right. And these are kinds of things that add an element of drama to the story that's unique to that story construct.
Right. With Back to the Future, you know, what if your parents never met kind
right.
of thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's the predestination paradox.
In that you're trying to change something, but your efforts to change the thing is what makes the thing come into existence in the first place.
Right. Finally, there's the bootstrap paradox, which is where you get, like, you go back in time and give yourself the clue on how to time travel.
Right. So it's an instance of there's no real origin to how something comes about or develops. It happens because it had to have existed in the first place in order to allow it to happen.
Yeah, that one's a little harder to explain,
yeah,
I think, because
yeah.
it can be a concept or a literal object. It could be like a ring that, okay, a character has this ring, but the only way the character has the ring in the present is because a character travels to the past to give it to him.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have traveled into the past to give it to him unless he already had it.
So that's the question of how did it exist in the yeah. first place?
It's kind of a chicken and the egg
yeah.
paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the major ones. I mean, I'm sure there's more. And if you want to talk any further time travel with us, you can shoot us an email, as always. And as I've said repeatedly, show@backstage.link.
Can I plug a website?
Sure. Go All for right. it.
I have found a website called TV Tropes to be a font of knowledge of many different aspects of time travel.
Tropes, if you will.
Yes. That have been used in a variety of different fictional works. It's a good reference point. If you just look up time travel on their website, you'll find way more stuff than we have time to cover here.
Yes, we did use them for some research, so thank you to TV Tropes. And speaking of research, we interestingly have been doing a little time travel. Well, we haven't been doing time travel, but we've been doing a little time travel research ourselves because, well, if you've traveled to the future, hopefully you've already heard our new podcast.
Yeah.
Because one's not enough.
Hopefully we finished it too by that point.
Yeah, so this remains our main podcast of the backstage group productions, whatever. However,
the flagship show.
The flagship show, yes, which used to be the backstage show. Now that's our show. But if you recall, we're in our fourth season now. Back in our first season, we had a different vision for this show.
It was going to be a little bit more of a variety kind of a podcast with mm-hmm. some scripted content contained within it.
And we ended up with just, I think, one scripted
yes,
piece
our
in there.
Second episode related to a stage play that we had written and included a on-air performance of it.
Right. So we enjoyed doing that. We wanted to expand on it, but it never really fit with the rest of the babbling we do here. And also because this doesn't take us enough time and because we're not busy enough, we thought that having a second podcast going at the same time would be a good idea.
Brilliant.
Yes. Even. So we have begun work on what we have entitled Audion Radio Theater.
That was Glenn's title, yeah. But it has it has historical relevance. Look it up.
I thought you agreed that would be a good title.
I agreed to it, yeah.
Okay.
But you came up with it. Okay. I didn't say it was a bad choice.
Audion is a type of tube that was found in radios.
Yeah.
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 So basically what we're doing is, back to time travel. We're time traveling back to the golden age of radio.
Yes, and along the lines of producing scripted content, we figured since we're already doing a podcast, well, doing kind of a retro or... Well, I wouldn't say it's retro, but doing a radio play or audio play format would be mm-hmm. a good vehicle for us to go into new fictional works.
Yeah, because we are, as I'm sure we've mentioned in the past, both of us do a lot of writing. We have.
I wouldn't say a lot.
Okay. Both of us do some writing.
At least for myself.
No, yeah, I guess you're right. So both of us have done writing in the past, and we've also both acted in the past. And directed in the past, and all of this kind of ties in, and we're like, you know, we need this is a nice outlet and requires some creativity, but we both kind of wanted to get back into writing and that sort of thing, and the more traditionally creative aspects, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the planned series, sub-series.
Yeah. So the concept of this is we're going to have a few continuing series that rotate through, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a few like one-offs.
And the one that is most relevant to today's topic is, of course, time travel. Will be a planned series called The Dunovers.
And that's about two brothers who time travel.
Yes, they... But the limit on their time travel is maybe only about up to 6 hours, so they can't change the world on a macro scale or anything like that. They can only attempt to correct recent events.
Yeah, that's fairly accurate. It's still, you know, in the works. We haven't recorded anything yet. We have a couple of episodes written. Mm-hmm. We have kind of the first season blocked out, sketched more or less. Out, yeah. But we're still working with this. We want to make sure that we have enough stuff, you know, already completed to record. And we want to have enough stuff already recorded before we start releasing. So
there's a lot of work to do.
There is still much work. And the other reason to mention it is if anybody listening to this has any interest in helping out with this show, we can't pay you. We're not paying ourselves. We're not making any money on this. Eventually, who knows? Maybe we'll get actual advertisements and such on there, in which case we'll probably be willing to cut you in for part of that. However, we're definitely going to need additional voice actors. Jim and I can both do that, but we cannot cover every single role.
We'd probably prefer not to.
And of course, while we both are writers and both are writing for this, we could probably use some additional writers as well.
Right. We've sketched out ideas for episodes. Some may get developed, some may not.
Yeah. And you can chime in with your own ideas once, you know, we have basically a series Bible that we'll go through and tell you all about the characters and the locations and all of that.
And we felt it was important for ourselves to kind of set the tone with writing the first couple of episodes to get a feel for what we think this is going to be.
Yeah. So that's right now the main one we're working on. I'm also separately working on Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, which is kind of a resurrection of an old Marx Brothers. Well, not really Marx Brothers. It was just Groucho and Chico. It was Groucho and Chico had a short-lived radio series, which is in the public domain. Mm-hmm. But I guess the first episode, I've already done it on stage, and then I adapted it for... It's weird. I took radio, adapted it for stage, and now I'm readapting the stage version for radio back to radio.
Everybody following this so far?
Yeah. Right now, I'm certainly writing it in the Groucho voice, but I don't think that Jim is all that willing to do Chico. So if anybody out there is interested, I could use a Chico to my Groucho.
It's not that I'm not willing to do it. It's just I don't know I can pull it off.
Yeah. So that, and of course, there's other characters in that and we can use writing help on that. We could potentially use, if people are interested in directing some of these, we could potentially use that. Anybody interested in editing any of them? Because at this point, that's just Jim. Because I don't know if I am even capable of editing the radio drama sort of thing. I can edit a podcast.
But I don't think it's that much different.
A lot of sound effects and music and stuff.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Editing versus doing the rest of the post-production. Yes, it's going to be a much different beast, so to speak.
And kind of a different skill set. But if you are interested, you can let us know at this point. Just, I guess, email show@backstage.link. Eventually, I'm sure there will be a specific email address for Audio on Radio Theater, but I don't think I have that set up yet. So, yeah, I'm sure you'll be hearing about this a lot more. So, you know, we're probably creating our own little time loop here.
Where times suck.
Or maybe a little bit of both. Regardless, we do appreciate you tuning in for That's Our Show, and hopefully for Audio on Radio Theater in the coming years. I wouldn't expect it anytime soon. I figure we're probably at least a year out at this point.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of work still to do on that to get it ready.
But we are already excited about the project and excited to share it with you. But in the meantime...
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Well, soon-ish.
Coming not very soon.
Yes. But meantime, I guess we are probably about ready to wrap things up here.
I think so.
Yeah. So tune in to our next episode. And of course, stay tuned for more information about Audio on Radio Theater. And in the meantime, That's Our Show was brought to you by the Backstage Group.
Engineered by Jim Balsarek and edited by Glenn Reed.
As always, you can find us online at show.backstage.link. backstage.link, or you can email us at show@backstage.link.
Please give us a rating wherever you listen to That's Our Show, and spread the word by telling your friends to listen.
We should be back, assuming we stay on schedule, in 3 weeks with a mini-sode that will somewhat relate and tie into this one.
Followed by our big annual Halloween special that incidentally occurs on Halloween this year.
Ooh. That's it. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Until we do join you for that Halloween special,
that's our show. You have an example we'll get into a little bit later. No, I'm going to save it for later. Never mind. Hi, Luna. check. All right.
Sorry. What did you do?
I don't know. I thought I was losing
Ray.
We're fine.
Yeah, I always forget that shortening it.
I think both of the original, or but the first.
It's I think just that.
I can do a cartoon show.